If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 20. We'll get there in just a moment. Let me start with a statement that I made the last couple weeks, and it's this statement: the decisions that we make today determine the story that we'll tell tomorrow. We're talking about divine direction today. I mentioned last week about people struggling to make decisions in their life. So how do we become more decisive? For believers, the question is, how do we get divine direction is really what we're seeking. So what I really want to talk to you today about is this: trusting God's process. Everybody say that. Trusting God's process. One more time. You've got it. Let me ask, how many of you have a life verse from the Bible? Anybody? Some of you, who does not have a life verse? You don't even know what I'm talking about. A life verse from the Bible is something, a verse that you use that helps keep you on track, and it just kind of like is foundational to you and speaks to you. And by the way, I need to let you know, just because somebody else has that life verse doesn't mean you can't have that life verse. There are people like, well, they have it, I can't have it. Yeah, yes, you can. If it's a verse that speaks to you. In fact, I have multiple life verses. Anybody have multiple? I believe, in fact, the Bible is our life guide, right? So memorize it and live it. And most of you go, yeah. Well, that's why then get a life verse and start working with verses and put them into your life. My life verse, and maybe some of yours, it started with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. How many life verse people out there? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Just start right there. Try to work that into your life with all your heart. That's hard. And then the second one even gets harder: and lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because almost everything I think about starts with my understanding. And I have to work at that. It's a life verse for me. But then verse 6 goes on and says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. And it's just getting into a mode that He is part of my constant thinking. Why? Because He'll direct my paths, right? That's what He says. If you don't have a life verse, I suggest start with one. I have a second life verse. It's John 3:16. You say, well, why is that a life verse? Well, for me, I insert my name. For God so loved Brooks that He gave His one and only Son, so that when Brooks believes in Him, Brooks shall not perish, but Brooks will have eternal life. You know why I do that? Is because the word isn't just for somebody, it was for me. God so loved me, but He loved the world. He loves everybody, but there's somewhere where you've got to start believing it for yourself. Amen? So find a verse that speaks to your heart. It ministers to your spirit, and begin to say it, live it, say it over and over again, and let it become a life-giving verse to you. Today, I am adding a new life verse to my life, and I'll share it at the end today. As we go to our scripture in Acts 20, I just want to give you a little context of it so that you understand what's going on. Paul is sharing a very emotional decision that he is making. Paul loved ministry. He loved everywhere he went. But there was a place that he spent a lot of time in, and that was Ephesus. And he gave a lot of effort there. But he was not going to go back to Ephesus. And so he is traveling, and he ends up in a city called Miletus, where he says, the elders of Ephesus, would you meet me there? He wants to tell them something and share some information. So when they arrive, he begins to share this very emotional farewell with them to let them know that God was calling him in a new divine direction. Here's what Paul tells him in Acts 20, verse 22. He says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Make it active and living today so that we can put it into our actions as we live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to share four thoughts with you that come from this passage regarding God's divine direction for your life. I believe these thoughts can help us understand a little better how God works and how he wants to work in our life. It's all about learning to trust God's process. Say that one more time with me, trust God's. The first thought I want you to see is, I'm going to call it simply, the Spirit's prompting. The Spirit's prompting. Listen to it in Acts 20, verse 22, the first part. And now compelled by the Spirit. Paul says, God is calling me to go somewhere, and the Holy Spirit is prompting me to go to Jerusalem, he says. Paul knows, actually, this is going to be the last time that he sees these brothers and sisters that he's talking to. Listen to verse 25. Now, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. He is sensing, when I go there, I'm going there for a good reason for a long time. Paul knows the Holy Spirit's redirected his life and his future is going to be different. The Greek word for compelled is translated in different translations in different ways. Compelled in the NIV, it's translated bound, it's translated constrained. In some of the newer contemporary, it's I have to obey the Spirit, or the Spirit is making me go. It's that strong of a word. In fact, the Greek phrase that we're talking about is dionuma. Now, you have to understand we're dealing with Greek, not Latin. Latin, the word deo is God. But in the Greek, this word means to bind or to put under obligation. And then the word pneuma is translated spirit. Paul is telling us he is experiencing the pull of the Holy Spirit on his life. It has captivated his heart and it's leading him in a certain direction. Dio pneuma. Has anyone ever been to the mall and walked by Auntie Ann's, if you know what I'm talking about, and felt compelled to have some cinnamon pretzels? Anybody? Just a few of you. I just see it. I know where it is. I feel compelled when I drive into the mall. Just, you know. Maybe for you this morning, how many of you are compelled or bound to get your coffee every day? Yeah. You're required. I must have it. Yeah. That is what we, all of those, what we call a natural pull of the flesh, okay? But what if your spirit began to understand the Holy Spirit's pull and direction on your life? That's what Paul is feeling. Church, if you're a Jesus follower, then we ought to be aware and listen for those Deo Pneuma moments. Right? It could be something really, really big. The Spirit's directing, redirecting your life some way. It could be something very seemingly insignificant, like do the laundry now. I mean, what if the Holy Spirit just says, do it now? But are we listening to the Spirit in our life? Let me take you back to the light show that we did in December. Let me take you back to August when I received a phone call about the light show. My flesh did not want to deal with that phone call. I've told you about that. I didn't want to call back. But the Dio Pneuma moment is what I had. It was very gentle in my spirit, but the Holy Spirit said, you need to call back. I'm so glad that I followed that moment of the draw of the Holy Spirit versus my flesh. Everyone here today, God wants to put into your life Deo Pneuma moments. They could be big awakenings, or they could just be a very gentle nudging. But every time the Spirit prompts you, you need to know it is important. You have to learn to trust God's process. When He compels you to do something, God is working by His Holy Spirit. Let me show you a few scriptures how He works. Listen to these scriptures. Matthew 4:1 for Jesus. Then Jesus was led, how? By the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. How many are excited about that call? But aren't you glad He accepted the call? How about Acts 13:2? While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." For you, Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So as children of God, we ought to be led by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading. Where? In every part of our lives. We have got to learn as the people of God that God wants these Deo Pneuma moments. We've got to be sensitive to His promptings in our life. And when you know it's the Holy Spirit, you can trust God's process. Listen to Paul again. Now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. A second thought we need to understand when following God's prompting is this, and I want to call it certain uncertainty. Doesn't that make sense? Listen to Acts 20:22. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am certain that God is calling me. I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. Uncertainty. So often in life, how many would like to have every detail of what's going on or should go on in your life? Yeah, you're driven by what's the next detail. And not just what's the next one, what are all of them? How many have already planned your entire day? There they are. God, by the way, does not always give us all the details. In fact, many times God gives us no details at all. Why? Because He wants us to trust Him. In fact, listen to what the psalmist says in a very familiar psalm to you, Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So what is God's word to us? It's a lamp to what? Our feet. It's not a spotlight to show you the future. It's where your feet are. And a light to the path right in front. God's word is there to help us, but He doesn't always spotlight what the future was going to look like. So many times, Lord, I want to see step 4, 5, 6, and 7. And God says, well, you can see step 4, 5, 6, and 7 if you'll take step 1, 2, 3, and so on. Let me remind you of Proverbs 16:9. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. See, you've got plans today, but are you willing to let the Lord direct it and possibly change it? It's the Lord that should determine every step we're taking, though God doesn't give us every detail of every moment. Most time, only God shows you the next step. This is what I want you to do. And so it leaves us with this certain uncertainty. We know what we're to do, we just don't know what the outcome is going to be. And that's exactly what Paul says when he says, not knowing what will happen to me there. But Paul knew the Holy Spirit was calling him. When I made that call back to the houses about the light show, I didn't know where it was going to end. It was just the next step. And God directed us. How many, though, would like to have a little certainty in your life? Anybody? I mean, because you're kind of like, I want the Holy Spirit, but I'm not sure about the uncertain. Let me give you some certainties, okay? Hebrews 13:5, the last part tells you, God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. You can be certain that God will be with you on the path. Amen. How about Psalm 32:8? The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. We read that last week. Listen, God is watching over your steps. He's advising you each step along the way. Romans 8:28, you can be certain that we know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are chosen to be part of his plan. You can be certain God will be part of your life if you are listening and following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Church, we live by faith, not by sight. If you're not living with a little uncertainty every now and then, I'm not sure you're living by faith. And if you're not living by faith, the Bible says you can't please God because it says it's impossible to please God without faith. So we've got to learn to trust God's process. Even though I don't know what's going to happen, I know he's calling. A third thought we can gain from this passage today, it's not one that you'll probably enjoy hearing, but it's important for us to understand, and that is to anticipate conflict. Mark it on your calendar. By the way, you have an enemy who will try and come against anything God is leading you to do. Hear what Paul says in Acts 20:23. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. See, that's the part like, okay, God, I hear you. Okay, I trust that you're with me, but as soon as we get resistance, we're like, God, I don't know if you're in this. Oh, let me be assure you, if you're following God, he's in it. Paul is going to end up in prison again because of preaching the gospel. Let me make a really, I think it's a strong statement, and so I preempt it with that statement. But let me make this statement this morning. If you are not ready to face opposition for your obedience to God, you are not fully ready to be used by God. See, God wants to fully use you. He might use you, but when you're ready to say, God, it doesn't matter. It's a strong statement, but we have got to learn to stand firm in what we believe God is calling us to do. Don't forget, you have this enemy out there, and the devil is against the gospel of Jesus Christ changing lives. Peter warns us in 1 Peter 5, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Verse 9, though, says, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Church, anything that we're going to do that's significant for the kingdom of God could be met with resistance. And just because things don't seem to be going right for you does not necessarily mean that you're out of God's will. Because when you're being attacked, many times it's a direct indication you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. So trust God's process. Say it one more time with me. Trust God's process. One more thought for today. We need to have an uncommon confidence. This next verse I'm about to read is becoming my new life verse. Paul says, I know it's going to be bad, it's going to be difficult, I don't know the details, but verse 24 he says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Paul wasn't saying my life isn't worth anything, he's saying it's not worth anything to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Paul somehow really got this God perspective in his life and realized my life is not about me, it's about testifying to God's grace no matter what happens. Paul had this trust God's process. And so Paul's going to follow God just step by step. Basically, this is what Paul was saying. I don't know the details. I know it's not going to be easy, but I am certain that God wants me to glorify Jesus wherever I am. And whether I'm preaching to a big crowd, I'm going to talk about Jesus. If I'm locked up in prison, I'm going to write about Jesus. If I'm chained up to a prison guard, I'm going to lead him to Jesus. If they beat me and leave me for dead, I will call out for Jesus. I am living for Jesus. Why? Because I am absolutely and completely confident that it's not about my career. I have a heavenly call to glorify Jesus wherever I go. Wow! Is that what we want? That's divine direction. You said, well, what am I supposed to do? What's my calling? Well, if you're making tents, make tents for Jesus. If you're waiting on tables, serve Jesus while waiting on tables. You say, well, how do I do that? After you take the order, you're going back to pray for the table. They just might pray for you, but you pray for them. If you're at home and a mom at home, then you serve Jesus while you're at home. If you're a student in school, serve Jesus as a student in school. Whatever you do, you should be doing it because of who you are in Jesus. And that's what causes us to be obedient to the next step. You don't need to worry about making a name for yourself. You need to determine to make a difference for the name of Jesus. Could you make history for the glory of God? That's what Paul did. And thank the Lord that he took the gospel to the Gentiles so that we could hear it today. You see, he made history for the glory of God. Acts 20:24, listen to it again. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Church, I'm not there yet. That's a challenge in my life to get considerations off of me and to really think about God. What about you? I told the staff this morning, for me, it's, you know, like, I still would like vacation. I was still like, and I'm like, when does it not matter? And I'm working through that. And then Paul says, my only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Church, sin, if you understand the definition of sin, sin is missing the mark. We've got to get to this place where I only am aiming one direction. And I put my aim on Jesus and what he wants for my life. Why? Because I want my task of testifying to the good news of God's grace to be real. And you go, well, Pastor, you're doing it. No, I'm still working on this. But I want this to be my life verse. Why? Because I want the Spirit's promptings in my life. I want the Spirit to be able to talk to me. But not just talk to me, I want to hear. I want to know what he's saying. I want to live with certain uncertainty. I have faith in God that he is for me and not against me. And so I will do everything I can to say, I know he's for me, but I don't know what's going to happen. And to live with that anticipated conflict that's there. Sometimes we just might suffer for living for Jesus. It might just happen. But church, we've got to aim toward Jesus. We've got to get our direction right. And lastly, live with uncommon confidence. Just have a confidence in God, like obedience immediately. And when you obey, you don't have to worry about missing out on anything else because you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. So you can trust where he's going to lead you. And his life and through you will bring glory to him. And then you'll be walking in divine direction. Let me pray for you for a moment. God, would you give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? And Lord, let our hearts submit quickly to what you're calling us to do. Lord, we want to consider our lives worth nothing. Lord, we just want to live with your goodness and your grace and share it with everybody we meet because we're walking in divine direction. In Jesus' name, help us do that. Amen. But today you can start by listening to the Spirit's promptings, and maybe for some of you it's to fully surrender today. In fact, there was a word that was spoken that if you'll give him your whole heart, you'll see his glory. And we say, well, God, I want to see you. Well, it starts with the Spirit's prompting, say, hey, give me everything. Why? Because God wants to work through your life. He doesn't just work through pastors. He works through the church. We are the church, is the people of God. And he wants to use us. And so, in simple surrender today, and I'm not going to call for a show of hands today, because you know what's going on in your heart. You know whether you need to rededicate your life today because of junk that has pulled you away from Jesus. Or maybe the first time to say, I'm really dedicating my life this time. I've been in church, I've heard things, but I've never really fully surrendered. Today I want to do that. And so today, the Spirit is prompting. It's the first step. You say, well, what's going to happen? Certain uncertainty. He'll be with you. And he'll guide you. But I don't know exactly where he'll lead you. But I can tell you, there's an enemy who's going to try to steal that story from you. Don't let him. Stand up in faith and have confidence that God is using you. Because you are uncommon in this world. You are special. You are God's people, his holy possession. And he wants to use you and give you divine direction. Would you bow your head and everybody pray with me? Everybody, let's rededicate, recommit ourselves and say, Heavenly Father, I surrender my life to you, completely to you. All my life. Jesus, save me. Make me brand new. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. I desire to follow you. My life is not my own. I give it to you today. Thank you for my new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So church, if you could just see how God could use you, you would be overwhelmed, but you also might become prideful. So he says, hey, just take one step, one at a time, and bring me glory. Obedience, amen, to the Lord. Next week, I will wrap all this up because we've got some divine direction that God is calling us to in the days ahead. We'll be sharing with you some thoughts and dreams, and I need God directing you because he wants to use your hands and your feet, your gifts, your talents, and his giftings through you. And I believe he will if you'll surrender. Amen. Simple little song. Could we just sing a few choruses of that? And I'm going to have Pastor James close out today. And I'm going to go ahead and slip out to IOC. But would you lift this, I Surrender?
And here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all. Surrendering all, and find me here, Lord, as you draw me near. I'm desperate for you. desperate for you. I surrender. Oh, I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Like a rushing wind, oh Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, I'll stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Yeah. Sing it again. Sing like a rushing. Like a rushing wind, when Jesus breathed within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Yes. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Have your way in me. Oh Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me.
Jesus, that's our prayer this morning, that you'd have your way in us completely, not just part. We hold nothing back from you this morning. God, as we go from this place, I pray that this wouldn't just be a good message that tickled our ears, but Lord, that it would transform our hearts completely. Transform us completely. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, have a Jesus-filled week, and we'll see you next Sunday.